Ruth chapter 1, verse 20. But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" This morning I want us to consider some strange things sent by the Lord. Before we get into the lesson, I want to again express my thanks for everyone that is here this morning. We have many people to be praying for, much to be doing this week, and we pray that God will bless us in our efforts. When I do all of my sermons, I try to plan out several weeks at a time, at least the subjects, just because it takes a while to come up with something to think to preach about. So I try to have several weeks in a row. The ones that I preached last week, I had completed before we went out of town. Both of these today, I had planned to preach today. And the one this evening is the man who got in trouble because he stayed home. So I have both of these sermons. And then sometimes I think I don't decide which one I'm going to preach in the morning or the evening until I know who's here. You're going to be coming. Both of these sermons everybody needs to hear. All the sermons everybody needs to hear. But unfortunately, not everybody is here all the time. But this morning, some strange things sent by the Lord. This evening, the man who got in trouble because he stayed home. And I think next Sunday, I'm going to do a couple of sermons on leaving this world and going home. So some strange things sent by the Lord. How would I describe that? Well, I thought I'd take this picture of this UFO that was landing in the woods out behind our house, since that was something strange. But you know, that's not our woods. That's somebody else's woods. So back to Ruth chapter 1. Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. Naomi means sweet. Mara means bitter. These are contrasting names that illustrated the changes that had come in the life of Naomi. Significantly, the bitter waters of Mara encountered by Israel during the wilderness wanderings brought into memory by the use of this name in Exodus 15:22. Naomi's thoughts of what she believed that God had done unto her were by no means correct. She thought everything in her life was turning out to be a disaster, but she knew of none other upon whom she could fasten the responsibility, so she's going to blame God for it. But she had not learned the great lesson that Christ brought to mankind at a later time, namely that when we suffer as saints, when we suffer as God's people, there is also the promise that if we suffer with Him, we shall reign with Him. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." Friends, we need to learn whatever happens, we need to thank God. We should give God thanks always for all things. Yet many things come into our lives that we don't like, but God allows them to come upon us. And it is for our good and for His glory. So let's consider some strange things sent by the Lord. One of those is afflictions. In Psalm 66 and verse 10, "For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You've caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment." When we think about being afflicted, we have not been afflicted to the degree that so many people in the world have or that God's people have. He tested them. He refined them as silver. And again, you refine silver or gold, you take and you put the heat to it. You put a lot of intense heat and you keep it there for a long time to refine it. Why are you refining it? You want to remove all of the dross out of there, the material that is not precious. You brought us into a net. That brings up the picture of being caught in a net like a fish. You laid affliction on our backs. It brings to the picture like a slave that is being whipped. You've caused men to ride over our heads. They were submissive. We went through fire and through water, and literally some of God's people were burned to death. They were drowned. But you brought us out to rich fulfillment. God sends afflictions. When we think of afflictions, we often think of Job. Job chapter 16. God has delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over to the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he has shattered me. He also has taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces. He has set me up for his target. His archers surround me. He pierces my heart and does not pity. He pours out my gall on the ground. He breaks me with wound upon wound. He runs at me like a warrior. I have sewn sackcloth over my skin and laid my head in the dust. My face is flushed from weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death. Although no violence is in my hands, and my prayer is pure, O earth, do not cover my blood, and let my cry have no resting place. Surely even now my witness is in heaven, and my evidence is on high. My friends scorn me, my eyes pour out tears to God. Can we think of anybody that was afflicted more than Job? And in this short section of verses, how he describes what he had to go through, what he endured all around about him. No one that could comfort him. Physical pain. So it's strange, but God sends afflictions. And we should expect God to send afflictions into our life. And I would guess if every one of us made a list of afflictions that we have gone through and we added them all together, it would not come anywhere near to what Job went through. Something else that's strange that God sends, he sends grief. In Lamentations 3:32, though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Again, we see this comparison, something bad happening, something good happening. He causes grief, but he's going to show compassion. And through all of this, we see that God is God. He is in control of everything. And he wants us to learn, no matter what the circumstances are, is to put our faith and trust in him. And when we are suffering afflictions, when we are suffering grief, when we are suffering everything else that I have to mention this morning, the best place to be is in God's hands and with other Christians. Nobody can support someone else like another Christian. You aren't going to find that in the world. They aren't going to care about you like your brothers and sisters. A third thing that God sends is wounds. Again in Job chapter 5, verse 17, behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. For he bruises, but he binds up. He wounds, but his hands make whole. He shall deliver you in six troubles. Yes, in seven, no evil shall touch you. In famine, he shall redeem you from death, and in war, from the power of the sword. You shall be hidden from the scourge of the tongue. You shall not be afraid of destruction when it comes. You shall laugh at destruction and famine, and you shall not be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For you shall have a covenant with the stones of the field, and the beast of the field shall be at peace with you. You shall know that your tent is in peace. You shall visit your dwelling and find nothing amiss. Friends, God sends wounds to all of us. And I have found in my life, the more that I have gone through, the less that anything in the future scares me. And when he looks and talks at these things, you shall laugh at destruction and famine. You shall not be afraid of the beasts of the earth. It's when we have that relationship with God, these things don't matter. And what if we lose our life because of these wounds and afflictions? Then if we are faithful to God, we are carried by the angels into paradise. We've seen God's wonder here on this earth. We are waiting for that glory to come, and we have nothing to fear. But the world sees this as something strange. Why would God afflict us? Why would God give us grief? Why would God send wounds? Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. Happy, this term happy or blessed. Why is this man happy? Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects, not because of his circumstances, but because God looks on us with favor, because we have repented of our sins and turned to God, our Creator. When calamity strikes, we see what's important and what's not important. And you see a lot of people change their lives. Sometimes it's lasting. Sometimes it's only temporary. But God sends things into our life to correct it. Illustration that has stuck with me for years. On one of the trips down to Tennessee, when we got down there, and it was like in the springtime, and driving through the hill, so many of the trees were just like twisted and torn and broken. And I asked my brother, I said, "What happened? Was there a tornado that went through? All the trees look all mangled." And he said, "We had a really bad ice storm." And the ice storm, what does that do with those trees? It broke and got rid of all of the dead wood. The dead wood. And when you get rid of the dead wood, then what's going to happen? The new growth can take place. And friends, God is going to bring things into our life to get rid of the dead wood in our life so that we can produce growth. But the world sees that as strange. God sends leanness. Isaiah 10:16, "Therefore the Lord of hosts will send leanness among his fat ones, and under his glory he will kindle a burning like the burning of a fire." Doesn't God want us to be fat and happy? Friends, sometimes he wants us to be lean, to know what it's like to hunger. God sends leanness. I've used this slide before in other sermons, but we see these children, they're starving. They're starving. There are people starving spiritually for God, and they are ingesting, they are putting into their mind the things of the world, and it is never going to fill them. God sends leanness. Psalm 106. "He saved them from the hand of him who hated them. He redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their enemies. There is not one of them left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul." The history of the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. Everything that God did them. He redeemed them from the Egyptians, from Pharaoh's army. The waters covered their enemies. There wasn't one of their enemies left. They believed his words. They sang praises to God. And then they soon forgot what he did. God gave them what they wanted, but he sent them leanness. He sent them leanness to teach them that he was God. There'd be no other gods before him, and he was to be treated as holy. Back to Job 16. I also could speak as you do if your soul were in my soul's place. I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you, but I would strengthen you with my mouth, and comfort out of my lips would relieve your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not relieved, and if I remain silent, how am I eased? But now he has worn me out. You have made me desolate, all my company. You have shriveled me up, and it is a witness against me. My leanness rises up against me and bears witness to my face. God sent leanness to Job. And again, we know, just to skip ahead to the end of the story, with Job, everything that he went through, and he did not curse God in anything, and God richly blessed him and gave him more in the end than in the beginning. But God will send leanness into our lives, and we should not be surprised when it comes. But we should praise God. Praise God. God sends tears. Psalm 80 and verse 4, O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears, and given them tears to drink in great measure. This is interesting poetic language. You have fed them with the bread of tears. God sends tears. And there are tears mentioned throughout the Bible. There are tears of regret. Esau found no place for repentance. Hebrews 12, 17. Though he sought it carefully with tears. As we've been talking about Jacob and Esau in some of our studies, how many times do you think after Esau sold his birthright that he thought, I wish I had not done that. I wish I could have gotten that back. And he did that with tears. He sought it carefully with tears. There's the tears of a backslider. Psalm 137. There we sat and wept by the rivers of Babylon when we remembered Zion. The tears in hell. The rich man lifted his eyes in hell and cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, for I am tormented in this flame. God sends tears. There's going to be tears in all of our lives. Tears move the heart of God. Tears move the heart of the sinner. And they should move your heart, and they should move my heart. Friends, one of the problems we have today is we have too much dry-eyed religion. Like we were talking about repentance in class this morning, people don't see the need to repent. Whatever they've been doing, they don't see it. I'm better than this person. I'm better than that person. And we can all, I'd say most of us all can remember years ago, people would come forward regularly with tears flowing down their face and saying, I want to be baptized, or I've sinned. I want the prayers. Tears. God sends tears. Jesus wept. He wept over Jerusalem. Jesus wept at Lazarus' grave. Jesus wept in the garden. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. And people think it's strange that God's going to send tears. I think it's strange that God's going to send tears into my life. I heard a preacher talking about a woman that came to him one time, and she didn't want to have anything to do with religion. And she said that God let my son die. How How could God let my son die? And the preacher said, he told her, friend, God let his own son die. God let his own son die. And God knows what we go through. When we are crying about something, God knows, and Christ knows. We have a high priest that came in the flesh that can feel what we feel. Joseph, he wept over his brethren. He kissed and wept upon each one of his brethren. When he revealed himself to his brothers and he told everybody to go out of the room and close the door, he was crying so loud they could hear it outside. A poor, thankful woman wept upon Jesus' feet, Luke 7:38, and she began to wash his feet with her tears. Friends, we should, when something comes into our life and we are sobbing and crying, we should not think that it's strange. God sends tears. God sends trouble. Psalm 71:20. You have shown me great and severe troubles, shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Sometimes God will show us a trouble. Sometimes God will bring a trouble into our life just to show us that he can deliver us from that. Sometimes God will take everything away from us just to show us he can give that to us again. We should not think that it's strange. We need to ask God. We should, when something happens in our life, we should thank God and then say, God, what do you want me to learn from this? What do I need to learn? And God sends death. 1 Samuel 2:6, the Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he brings up. Deuteronomy 32:39. Now see that I, even I, am he, and there is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Nor is there any who can deliver from my hand. God holds life in his hand. He can take it. He can restore it. We don't need to be worried about what's going to happen about our fleshly body. We need to worry about what's going to happen to our eternal soul. Back to Job. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. For he bruises, but he binds up. He wounds, but his hands make whole. He shall deliver you in 6 troubles. Yes, in 7, no evil shall touch you. In famine, he shall redeem you from death. In war, from the power of the sword. You shall be hidden from the scourge of the tongue. You shall not be afraid of destruction when it comes. You shall laugh at destruction and famine. You shall not be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For you have a covenant with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with you. And you shall know that your tent is in peace. You shall visit your dwelling and find nothing amiss. You shall also know that your descendants shall be many, and your offspring like the grass of the earth. You shall come to the grave at a full age, as a sheaf of grain ripens in its season. Behold, this we have searched out. It is true. Hear it and know for yourself. Friends, these strange things that God brings into our life that sends our way, we need to see God in them, and we need to be faithful to God. When these strange things come, there is 2 things that can happen. When our circumstances change, God uses circumstances to make us better. Satan uses circumstances to make us bitter. And they can either be something happens to us, and it can either be a stepping stone to go on to something greater, or it can be a stumbling block to make us fall back. In business, one of the many things I learned with the company, if something goes wrong, you need to be thankful that something went wrong, because now you know how to fix that problem so it doesn't happen again and something greater happen. And that's the same thing spiritually speaking. When something happens in our life, we need to be thankful that we find out now instead of on the day of judgment. We find out now, is God using, and these circumstances, I should say, are neutral. They aren't good or bad. It's just something that happened. But again, something can happen that is bad. And you see Christians come together. You see that bond of love draw people together and help each other. And it makes you stronger. It makes you more determined to live a faithful life, to do right no matter what. Or that same circumstance can make you bitter and you start thinking, well, why did God do this to me? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? I don't want to be around people right now. And friends, that's not a good place to be. God wants his people to be together. We shouldn't think it's strange. God's going to send afflictions. He's going to send grief. He's going to send wounds. He's going to send leanness. He's going to send tears. He's going to send trouble. And he's going to send death. If you haven't had it in your life yet, it's coming. It's coming. Friends, are you a New Testament Christian? When these things come, when we are a Christian, we have the hope. We have the foundation to stand on, not only to make it through things in this life, but that we can be a child of God's, and that when this life is over, when he sends death, we do not have to fear death, because we have that home waiting with him. Friends, if there's anyone that needs to respond this morning, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.